Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to week two of the prayer series. My name is Vince. I'm one of the pastors at the church. So glad that you can jump in on today's video series, the sermon on prayer. It's this funny thing. I hope you had a great New Year's. Everything went well for you. You went through and had a good Christmas season. It's different for everybody and hits everybody different with New Year's starting up and what that looks like and coming off of these Christmas times. I think of like, perhaps it's as I've gotten older and the craziness of Christmas, and sometimes now it makes me think that the Grinch may have been onto something, where he was just hiding in a cave with his dog, just waiting for the days to pass. There's times where you just get so, it's like, oh, okay, it was great, and now I'm done. But the pressure's on. It's the new year. You got to do some new things. It's not just enough to have come through this great Christmas season, but now you've got to make some new pledges, and everybody's different. Some people are fired up about what 2023 has in store for them. They're geared up for the big, the impossible, the insane. They're taking on great new challenges, ready to move forward. I heard one person articulate, they said, my spirit animal this year, I don't even know what that is. My spirit animal this year is a lion. I'm taking on the new year and excited, coming on in power, devouring what's ahead of me. And I just thought to myself, my spirit animal this year is a rooster, because I just want to wake up in the morning and scream. It's very different, how your goals, your ambitions, with what you're wanting out of 2023, changes that you're hoping to see made, directions that you're hoping to take life into. And as we go through this prayer series, Pastor Brad did an excellent job last week. You can catch that on the online in the archives on YouTube. And I'll carry the ball forward a little bit more, talking about with overcoming some of the challenges, some of the disappointments sometimes that we face, and how prayer, the place of prayer, and how it's linked directly with faith. You know, sometimes life can just push at you and be challenging, and you start to like trust less and less, and can I trust this, and can I trust that? And I want to encourage you, there's two things that don't lie. One, the Lord. The Lord doesn't lie. And two is Shakira's hips. Her hips don't lie. It's right in the song. How can they? Their hips. It doesn't make any sense. And so as you move forward into 2023, you're like, what to do, what to take forward, what's real, what's not? How to move past those points of doubt and leaving yesterday behind so that you can move forward into something that's even better. Now, I'm not like this big motivational speaker like Peter Legge, but I am excited about today's topic. Because prayer is linked directly, the place of prayer is linked directly to faith. And you'll end up asking by the end of this, is prayer a causal item? It causes things. Does prayer change things, move things? Is it a cause and effect item? Or is it a casualty? Is it a causality? Or has prayer become a casualty of life? Now, very different as we break it down. You see, thinking of prayer in terms of prayer is, I pray for a situation, something happens, there's a cause and an effect, it's causal. But sometimes when we don't see things turn out the way that we think they should have, or the ways that we hoped, prayer gets left dead by the wayside because we don't feel like we can trust it anymore. We don't put the same value or trust in prayer. And so it becomes less causal and more casualty. Now, if prayer is linked directly with faith, faith is the evidence of what I can't see, according to Hebrews 11:1. I can't see it is where faith kicks in. Now, within whom you put your faith drastically changes how or if you pray. If you are the source of all things and you can see, you can tangibly change things, how much faith does it take when you have the power yourself to influence the change? You see, prayer is the evidence of the unseen. And the prayer of faith is praying in what you can't see. Half the time, it doesn't make any sense. The bulk of the time, coming with a prayer of faith, It sounds like your head's so far in the clouds and this doesn't make any sense and it's just unrealistic and you need to ground yourself and be more realistic. But this is where faith and prayer become linked together, and because of events perhaps of the past, things that I've prayed for that didn't work out the way I thought leaves my faith a little bit lower and a little bit lower. I've got a story for you of this Canadian engineering creation called Hitchbot. There's a picture of Hitchbot on the screen. Now, Hitchbot is an engineering project from David Smith of McMaster University and Frank Zeller of Ryerson University, and they put Hitchbot together in 2013. Hitchbot's goal, it's the hitchhiking robot. He is literally made of a 5-gallon bucket, a GPS, a camera, some batteries, a little electronic display, some pool noodles for arms and legs. He's got a little seat that kind of detaches from his backside so he can sit on the side of a highway and not fall over when a semi-wind comes along. Hitchbot's purposes in life, they wanted to see the interactions between people and robots. And so they put Hitchbot out there to see if Hitchbot could travel across Canada. Maybe it's our good Canadian spirit about things, but Hitchbot traveled not once, not twice, 3 times they traveled Hitchbot from one coast to the next. I've made that drive, it's something else, and Hitchbot did it 3 times. People would take their pictures, they were excited to be with Hitchbot. In fact, the project was such a success that they took Hitchbot to Germany, where he traveled Germany. They took Hitchbot to the Netherlands, where he traveled from one coast to the other side. Till finally in 2015, they thought they'd give Hitchbot a try in the good old US of A. And as they tell the story in 2015, here's another picture of Hitchbot. In this, you will see that Hitchbot had his arms yanked off, had his head decapitated, and all his innards stolen. And that is the story of sometimes how we feel our prayers are answered. I had an engineering project. These gentlemen had this engineering project. They loved it. They put it out there. They were expecting certain things, certain results. In fact, prayers had been answered, and Hitchbot had traveled one coast. Let's do it again. And it traveled back. Let's do it again. And Hitchbot traveled back. It's a success. This thing works. Let's send it. Germany, Netherlands, yes. Good old America. And I don't know if it happened in Pennsylvania, so I don't know if it was the Amish got to it or what went down, but Hitchbot didn't make it. And we feel some way that our prayers are crumpled up in a corner, in an alleyway in Pennsylvania, not accomplishing what I thought they would do, and our faith comes down. I prayed for this to happen. You see, prayer's place is right beside faith. And when things, or we're in a place where we don't see them answered in a way that we thought or we'd hoped, that prayer-faith link starts to drop down. Oh, nothing happened. This is stupid. Prayer is hot garbage. Why bother? I prayed for that. It didn't work out. The end. Prayer is stupid. And my faith gets tanked. My faith gets tanked. My faith gets tanked. I prayed for that kid. I prayed for that son, that daughter. I prayed for that job. I prayed for this. I prayed for that. I prayed for health. I prayed for this person to recover. I've personally prayed for like hundreds, thousands of people. Some people have lived. Some people have passed. I've seen people get jobs. I've seen people lose jobs. I've seen people get healed. I've seen people not get healed. I wish I could tell you it's like A plus B plus C, boom, that's how it is, works every time. But it denies some of God's purposes and things that, quite frankly, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm not responsible for the outcome. I'm responsible to pray. Luke 18:1 says this. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Why would he include that in the scripture? They should always pray and not give up. You see, it records out in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Whoa, that's a little harsh. That seems a little crisp on my soul on a Sunday morning. Does the Lord care? I don't know his purposes and everything, so I can't tell you. There's times it's funny. I've prayed with somebody that has been asking for, like, you know, God to move in someone's life, and the prayer is actually directly asking me to pray that God would take away their free will. And so I'm like, let's just pray for them. But those gifts of free will, those things that God has given, I can't tell you. What works out what way and what doesn't? 2 Thessalonians 5:17 says this way, never stop praying. The NIV says, just pray continually. That's the whole verse. This isn't just an abridged version. Never stop praying. You see, there's that part within us that it's like it didn't quite work out, and I feel a little Hitchbot-ish. I prayed, I did this, I did what you told me, and it didn't quite work out. And so we want sometimes to quit, and the toll that takes on the believer's spirit or desire to pray. And my encouragement this morning is believe again, have faith again, all things are possible with him again, that, I think of varying prayer requests that I know. It's the single person praying for God. I would love a partner, but it hasn't happened, so I guess it's not your will. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but he's also placed the desires on your heart. I have pray for married people, and they're like prepared to donate their spouse to the singles. I have no idea in and how these mechanisms work. Praying for our children, praying for health, praying for loved ones. I just have that encouragement, God speaking to me, to just tell you, believe again, have faith again, because the place of prayer is linked directly to your faith, that he is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you can even think and imagine. And the moment that you give it up on it, it hurts the soul. I have a couple of illustrations. We have prayer meetings at the church the last Saturday of every month. And, you know, a range of people, varieties of life will come and hang out. But I want to tell you about me and my personal story on our last prayer meeting. Last prayer meeting happened, and for the prayer meeting, I've been fighting this rat at my house. He got into under my hot tub and is eating the insulation, and he ate part of a water line, and it was draining the hot tub. I know, first world problems, draining your hot tub. It was annoying. It was driving me crazy. I also prayed for some more serious things. We were praying that, because it was in the Christmas season, that loved ones would come to faith, that they would learn more about the kingdom, finding Jesus again. I also have a family member who's going through some serious health challenges. So we were praying at this prayer meeting, and I was within my group, and there's five or so of us, we're praying. And I tell you, I was praying the prayer of faith. I've been praying the prayer of faith like hundreds of times, I felt. And I'm not sure what was different about this one, but I can tell you what happened afterwards. I prayed specifically for these things and shared them with people. So that's one. There's a time in praying with people, and there's a time on the alone. Here's a picture of me and my little warm friend. He wasn't warm at this point. He was dead as dead. The next morning, I woke up and checked the rat trap, and this is the hand of God. This pleases the Lord. This rat was dead, cold, dead, done, dead. Some people see, oh, it's a warm creature. I see the hand of God killing this rat as it was destroying my things. But more importantly, I woke up, went about my morning routine, saw the dead rat, thanked Jesus. I went to church, and I kid you not, we're doing our thing. I'm at the front door greeting people as often I do. And lo and behold, my stepbrother comes. And he's been my stepbrother for like 20 years, and opportunities, it hasn't worked out that he's been able to come. And I hadn't particularly invited on that day. There was nothing special about it. And I hadn't talked to him about it in months. And the next morning, prayer meeting on Saturday, Sunday morning, hey, man, it's like great to see you. It was so great to see him. I love that guy. Lord loves him even more. The Lord's got good things lined up for him. That door opens. We're able to give a hug. That's a second answer to prayer. I kid you not, Monday, I got news that my loved one who have a significant health challenge, that got turned around. And so I saw a prayer answer. I saw a prayer answered. I saw a prayer answered. I'm telling you, if I'm believing for the biggest of things. It gets recorded out in Scripture that if I had the faith of a mustard seed, I could see a mountain moved. Those moments where your faith is jacked up, you're like, God is listening, and he's listening to you. I want to tell you another story, but not just me. I want to give you a story. This is the story of my friend John Stefanishin.
Well, I'm John Stefanishin. Been attending Calvary Church since September 1976. And I was an electrician and born and raised in Vancouver and lived my whole life here. Well, it was a Thursday morning, June 6th. We were last minute switched jobs. I was supposed to do another easy job, filling in for somebody else. And it was a street lighting job, Victoria Avenue, behind the Boathouse in White Rock, behind Marine Drive Strip there. And things were a little rough getting going. Fuel out of the truck and drama. And arrived at the site. The two workers before me pulled the wire and were leveling poles. Second pole in, the BC Hydro 25 kV three-phase line crossed the road. And it looked close, but it looked far enough away. And didn't have the proper equipment, but you just kind of think, well, can't figure out the hypotenuse, it looks close enough. You know, Murphy's Law, engineers put this in, it's going to fit, you know, like a glove. Yeah, right. So anyways, you look up and it's deceiving. Everything's on angles. And got to the second pole, built the poles, and we're standing up the pole, and I'm just thinking, you know, it looks all right. The high-up operator, Max, was outside there on a remote, and he's watching from an angle. We're supposed to have a spotter when you're around BC Hydro lines. But anyways, the pole was coming up on an angle, and I looked and saw it from the corner looking straight up. He says, it looks clear. And thinking about the base and getting it on, and my coworker, Frank, was the apprentice, and he's holding the wires to get on. The part of the bend, what we call the davit, touched the red phase, or 14,400 volts, out of a 25 kV system. And it went down, entered me, and it made a big bang, apparently. And it was the size of a tuning mark on a dot on the pole, but it made a mark where it entered. It entered across here on my chest, burned here, fingertips here, and the exit point was my left foot. And it jumped that 6 or 8 inches from the boot to the bolt pole, like a spark plug would.
Local contractors are recovering after a close call on the job. The pair came into contact with overhead power lines yesterday morning in Victoria and Vital Streets in White Rock. Witnesses say the workers appeared to be installing a lamp standard when the accident happened. They reported hearing a loud bang and saw a flash before the men were thrown to the ground. Both men were airlifted to the hospital. Fortunately, they're expected to be all right. They were said to be conscious and talking with the paramedics.
The electricity, well, I understand it, electricity entered. And it takes the shortest route down your leg, down your arteries, down your muscles, and it exited out of the left foot, big toe, and it arced and came back about 2 inches back. And the boots were only 2 weeks old. It had a plastic shank, and it was like a pair of boot, ripping up potato chips. That's what the bag they tore, and it was burnt. And apparently, I was blown out of the boot, thrown back 8 feet. Witnesses said. I was not there. I just saw the light, went back into the light, and I kind of drifted upwards, turned on an angle. What my recollection was, kind of saw the Butthole's restaurant, gone blank, and then you wake up in this most beautiful light. About 10 o'clock that morning, my mother got a phone call saying, John has been hurt. We'll send a car to you. And she says, I'll call you back. And we will talk to my daughter, see if she could pick up Donna to come. She'll pick her up. They phoned back, and that got straightened. Immediately, Mom phoned, I think, Darlene and John, and they got a hold of Northview Church. They phoned Calvary Church here, and I believe the pastors were meeting that morning for prayer, and they passed a message on. Calvary went into action. They prayed. Bishop McDonald came in and he prayed with me and he said, doors are going to close and new doors are going to reopen for you. And the church was coming and praying. And my friends all got word of it. So there was a church in Surrey and other church people. Grace Baptist Church prayed. Churches back east, it's like 10,000 there, Central and St. Catharines, it's about 10,000. They prayed for me. And probably 15, maybe 20,000 people throughout the Christian community prayed for me and upheld me in prayer. And God answers prayer, and prayer always works. I thank the pastors at Calvary for coming. It meant a lot, you know, a busy schedule, for coming, taking the time to pray, and just being with the family and uplifting. All the medical staff, all the people, even the primary employer, they were there supportive. And friends, all the pastors, all the Christian people throughout Canada, some states, they took the time to acknowledge and pray. Bishop McDonald checking up on me and praying with my mom and just encouraging. And all you guys, and the smiles when you guys came, and to see me in church here, and I remember your expression when you saw me in that lobby. And it's just a long road recovery. And all the elders in the church here, And that all the different people that came from Calvary to come visit me, Matthew, and a few people, I can't take, I'm sorry if I can think of top of my line head, right? But it's been, but it's just being there and the prayers, and God answers prayers.
Isn't that story absolutely amazing? Electricity running through his body. You see, at 120 volts, you've been shocked before, probably. And you get that, that doesn't feel right. That's at 120. At 240, you stick to things and you can't let go and you fry. At 400, you're blasted off. John was shot with electricity of 14,400 volts. At that point, limbs are blowing apart. You are shooting more electricity than like Emperor Palpatine or Raiden from Mortal Kombat. You're shooting electricity. And for John, it fired straight out of his foot. What should have happened is John gets carried away in a body bag. But what did happen was there were scary moments. John is transported, medevaced out of the hospital, months of praying and recovery and prayer. I want to tell you a story, background things that you would appreciate as a parent. I remember visiting John. I remember visiting him when he was in hospital and at his home, and in particular with his mom, May. Now, May is a fantastic woman of faith. John's whole family where May rolls in is the prayers of a parent that I want to encourage you. You see, John, he'll be at church on Sunday in the flesh, and a dozen years later lives to tell the tale. So some would go, well, why didn't God protect him that day? What's God up to? Another person, based on your point of faith and prayer, the prayers of a mother every day since she had John, God, be with my boy. Lord, watch over him today. Lord, be with him while he's at work. Lord, protect him from anything that would seek to harm him. The prayers of a parent, the prayers of that woman of faith, that just an enormous faith. May prayed her husband into the kingdom before he passed on. I remember her husband Ernie, he'd be in and at church, and there was a point where he wasn't walking with the Lord in a strong way. He wasn't walking with the Lord, but the prayers of a loving wife praying him into the kingdom, piece by piece by piece. The prayers of people around, coming around him. Hey, Ernie, good job on, it's amazing what the Lord's doing on the inside. Ernie, it's a fantastic how you come through these challenging things with a smile on your face. And so John's story is also a story of parents praying. John's story of, I should have lost my foot, but the Lord spared me and I got to keep it. You see, so we look at prayer through the eye and connect it in with faith. Now, there are people who, absolutely, they lose their lives to electricity. It happens all the time. For whatever reason, God spared John that day. And I think the prayers of those 15 to 20,000 people praying, God hears that. He hears your prayers too. He hears the prayers of that mother. He hears your prayers for your kids, for your family, for that spouse that doesn't exist yet. Because if you could see him, it wouldn't be a prayer of faith. If you could see her, it wouldn't take faith. If you could just muster that up yourself. See, the prayer of faith is in what I can't see yet. Now, it can sound delusional if you're not in the kingdom. But the prayer of faith And the encouragement to you today is to go big again. Those places of prayer, I think of May and these words in Mark 1, 3, and 5, with Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Those unsung parent moments, just praying in solitude for your loved ones. But also, James 5, 14, 15, are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. That prayer of faith moves mountains. And those people praying and the visits from the church people and the encouragement and the anointing with oil, that place of prayer, whether it was alone in the morning praying for a kid or together with the family of faith, moved mountains. And so here you are. I've got things in life to pray for. You have things in life to pray for. Where is your faith? Is your faith in you and what you can do to sort it out? Is your faith in God to sort things out? I encourage you. I've been in places where I'm just trying to do everything myself, but until you're hit with something that you cannot sort out yourself, you're at the right spot for God to jump in. Let's pray. Let's jump out in faith. One more time. Let's not get beaten down like the hitch bot. Let's rise back up again. Say, Jesus, I believe. Let's pray. Lord, you know the desires, the things that are going on in each of my friends' hearts that are hearing the sermon today. Lord Jesus, speak to them right where they're at, those moments where they've given up. We hear your word. We don't give up. Lord, we want to reboot. We want to try and come back at it again. Lord, forgive us of our unbelief. Lord, we want to see your hand move. And sometimes life gets in the way. Forgive us, Lord. For the big, for the impossible, for the stuff that we've given up on, we commit it to you. Lord, we commit our friends to you. We commit our families to you. We commit relationships to you. We commit resources to you. All the areas of life that go into make us up, we put them back into your hands. Our faith is not in us. Lord, we choose to put our faith in you and the impossible things that you can do. Lord, we're excited to see what you have for us in answers to these prayers. We believe for big things. We believe for powerful things because we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.